Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 11. I believe that we could all agree that our nation has made some bad choices and that we need revival in America. We need to have God back in America again. I believe that that has to begin with us. Jesus has pointed out some things in our lives that we need to surrender to Him. And as we do that, God wants us to completely depend upon Him for everything. This picture that the Lord paints for us here in the 11th chapter, the last three verses of the chapter, is about using the yoke on an oxen to do work. In order to understand what he's saying, you have to understand the illustration. You know, it made a lot of sense to the people back in that day because they used all that equipment. But we don't use a lot of oxen and yokes today, so we have to understand what's going on. The yoke serves the same purpose as the drawbar of a tractor. When you want to plow your corn or your garden or whatever with your tractor, you have to have some way to hook the tractor to the plow. And we have a drawbar that will do that for us today, and that serves the same purpose as the yoke when we're using oxen. The yoke made it possible for that ox to push against it, and whatever you hook to that yoke would be dragged along behind the ox. Now, there was another purpose for that yoke, and that was so that the one driving that ox could tell the ox what to do. And by virtue of that, you had a companionship between the ox and the driver. And the ox would listen to what the driver said and would carry out the commands, and the yoke enabled that ox to walk comfortably with its burden. Now, God uses that for us. And so if we understand that, then we can kind of understand what the Lord is talking to us about here. Stand with me, if you will, in honor of God's word, Matthew chapter 11, beginning with verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's pray. Father, as we come before your throne this morning, Lord, I ask that you would give us understanding of your word. Lord, help us to return with all of our heart to you. Search my heart and remove anything that would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit through me. Lord, I ask that you would teach me as you teach others through me. Guide us into your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The problem that we have in America starts with the way Christians relate to God. It doesn't start with the lost people. You remember in Chronicles 7:14, when the Lord is calling Israel to repentance, he said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, and heal their land. It is the Christians that God always turns to first. And so the Bible says it's time that judgment begin at the house of God. And so this morning, as we think about this, we want to understand what the problem is. He says here in verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It is the trouble in our hearts, the stress that we feel, and the worry and the anxiety that separates us from God. It makes us so that we're not useful to God when we go about worrying and we go about in anxiety, and all of those things hinder us from serving God. Notice here what God says we ought to be compared to what most of the time we are. When it comes to survival, listen to Matthew 6, 25 through 34. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? Oh, ye of little faith. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thoughts for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now that's God's prescription. That's what God says we ought to be doing in this life. He says that we're not to even consider what might happen. We are to trust him with our life and just go through life doing God's will and let him take care of us. You say, well, we would just crash and burn. We would go broke. We would lose everything. Only if God is not able to do what he says he can do. You see, when we live by faith, we trust God in every area of our life. So there's a serious problem in us. You know, we may want to look at the big things in the world that we want to fix, but God wants us to get down to the little things. He wants us to deal with our relationship to him. He wants us to realize that when we worry and when we fret and when we fear, we're in the flesh. And we're not operating in the spirit like he wants us to operate. And so when we see those symptoms in our lives, we realize that we're making a mistake. We're not really getting the power of God in our life that he wants us to have. Let's look at another thing. Sinfulness. You know, sinfulness is a serious problem in our lives. It causes a lot of other problems. It limits what we can do for the Lord. A lot of those things. Listen to what Jesus says, Romans 6, 11 through 17. This is the provision that God has made for us so that we don't have to struggle with sinfulness. He says here, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked. You were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Now understand what Jesus is saying here. He said, I've set you free. You don't have to serve sin anymore. Let that soak in. When we see sin in our life on a daily basis, when we practice sin, and when we go through this process, we sin and we confess, and we sin and we confess, understand that there's a problem. God is not calling us to live a sinful life. He says that he has made provision so that we don't have to do that. We don't have to live that way. God has set us free. And so there's a problem there that needs to be solved. And we're going to have to look and see how God says solve that problem. But I want you first of all to see, he says, you that labor and are heavy laden. That's us. We're heavy laden with worry and fretting and survival. We're heavy laden with sin that we can't seem to overcome. All those things are a problem for us. Then there's stress. We're heavy laden with stress. Amen. You know, the one thing that doctors say is one of the biggest causes of diseases and ill health in America today is stress. What is stress? I will give you my definition. I don't know if I can back this up scientifically, but this is what I see stress as. I believe stress is what you see in your life minus what you think God can handle in your life. The difference is stress. God can get you up to here, and then you got to worry about the rest of it. You got to stress over the rest of it. You got to stay up at night and worry about this because God can't quite handle all of this. That's stress. But you see, God tells us in Philippians 4:4-7, what provision he has made for us. This is the way he wants us to live, not in stress, not in staying up at night worrying about stuff. He says here, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now notice, that's better than stress, folks. Really is. The peace of God that passes understanding is a whole lot better than stress. God says, that's what I've provided. Why are you living with stress? That's a problem. And all those problems create a larger problem, and that is we're not serving God while we do those things. God says, now, I know that that is causing you a great problem. You labor, you're working at it, you're doing the best you know how to do, and you're heavy laden. I want to give you rest. Now let's look at the prescription. Here's what God says do. If this morning, as we read these things that illustrate the problems that we have, God says, here's what the cure is. If you've seen yourself with one of those problems or all of those problems, then listen carefully to what God says to do. He says here in verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. How do we take the Lord's yoke upon us? What does that mean exactly? Taking the Lord's yoke upon us means that we are absolutely surrendered to his will for our life. Now before we sign up for that, let's understand what that means. That means sometimes it is God's will for us to be sick and suffer. Sometimes it is God's will for us to be poor and without. Sometimes it is God's will for us to struggle with things that we don't like to struggle with. Because God is working on us. And so when we surrender to the will of God, we're not just saying, if you surrender to the will of God, all your life is going to be rosy. What we can say is if you surrender to the will of God and you stay surrendered to the will of God, you'll have peace in your heart. And that's good. But I want you to know that surrendering to the will of God does not make God your servant. It makes you God's servant. So many times what we want to do is say, Lord, I want to do your will and here's what it is. This is the will of God that I want to do and so you just make it happen. That's not the way God works. God says, you take my yoke upon you. If an ox tries to drive the driver, you got a problem. Whenever you hook up with Jesus, what happens doesn't come before you. What the result is not your business. Your job is just to plow and keep on going. And turn to the right hand or turn to the left hand according to his will. So if we're going to do that this morning, if we're going to take seriously what the Lord is saying to us about taking his yoke upon us, we're going to have to first of all surrender to his will. Romans chapter 12 verse 1 and 2, familiar passage, talks about surrender. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Now he talks about the mercies of God for a reason. God's merciful. God is not looking to hurt you. He's looking to help you. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you are under the stress and the worry of this world, you're going to be conformed to this world. But if you take the Lord's yoke upon you, then you just surrender to whatever God has for you. Whatever God wants to happen in your life is what you accept. And when you do that, things are going to happen because God will lead you. Then we have to study God's word. You see, the connection between us and God is the Bible. It is God's holy word. It is God's living word. It is for us. And it is the instruction manual for life. And so we study God's word. Listen to what Jesus said about his word in John 8, 31 through 36. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Jesus wants to set us free from sin. So as we study God's word, we're going to learn the truth, and God, through the truth, is going to set us free from the sinful conditions of our life. That's a wonderful truth, folks. God is able to set us free, but it is while we are yoked up with him. It's while we are trusting him with all of our heart. It's while we are completely submitted to his will, whatever comes, whatever he chooses, we're with him. That's important. You see, it may not be God's will for you to be what you want to be. It may not be God's will for you to go where you want to go. It may not be God's will for you to do what you want to do. God's will ought to take complete control of our lives. And when it does, that's when the peace of God comes. Then if we're going to have his yoke upon us, we're going to have to stay with him. You see, so many times we surrender to the will of God in this way. Lord, tell me what your will is and I'll see if I want to do it. That's not surrender. Surrender to the will of God says, Lord, tell me what it is and then give me grace to do it. And whenever we do that, we stay through the thick and through the thin, through the good, through the bad, through the hard, through the easy. We stay. Proverbs 4, 18 through 27 gives us a little insight here. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. We've got to stay the course. You see, there's so many things that call our attention away from God. And God is calling us back to complete surrender. He wants us to take his yoke so that he can lead our life step by step and not let us go to the right hand or to the left, because there's error all around us. There's all kinds of ways to mess up. You know, a lot of times we have to go through our home and cleanse everything that the world has snuck in on us. There's things that are offensive, not just to God, but they will lead you astray from the will of God. If there are things in your home that you know God would not approve of, get rid of it. See, don't go to the right hand or to the left. Don't say, well, this is not really just right, but it's not really bad either. It's either right or it's wrong. You see, the gray areas of the Christian life is what is destroying America. When we say, well, it's all right for me to watch this show. It's got a little of this or a little of that in it. But, you know, I wouldn't want to watch it if Jesus was sitting here with me. But, you know, it's okay. It's not okay. You see, God wants us to live our lives right in the center of his will. You say, well, I have a right to do whatever I want to in my own home. I can do this, I can do that. You can do that, but you're not in the will of God doing it. It's time we own up to that. It's time that we realize you can't be godly and live in sin. You just can't do it. I don't care who doesn't know about it, how secret it may be to you, it's still sin. And sin separates you from God. And God's calling us back, folks. We all pray for revival in America. We want to see America turn back to God. We want to see God back in our schools. We want to see the Bible taught in our schools. But it has to begin with us. You see, if God can't call us away from the sins and the attachments of the world, how's he going to call the world? We're the salt. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? There is no plan B, folks. We're it. We either do it God's way or it doesn't get done. It has to begin with us. And you see, it gets down to the minute details of our life. When I say that, what does the Lord bring to your mind? Some activity in your life? Some choices you've made? Some possessions you have. Things that you allow before your eyes. Job said, I will set no unclean thing before my eyes. Whatever it is, this is the day to surrender that. Say, Lord, I know in my heart, I've fought this. I've said, well, God doesn't care about these little bitty things. God, it's okay. I have these rights and all that. I have liberty in Christ Jesus and all that. I want you to do something for me this morning. I want you to say, Lord, if it doesn't please you, it doesn't please me. You know what pleases God and what doesn't. I don't have to make you a list. If it doesn't please God, get rid of it. Turn back to God with all your heart. That's what it means to take the yoke upon us. Because whatever leads us astray, leads us astray. And you know something? We can't be halfway in the yoke of God. If we're not yoked up completely to the Lord, we're yoked up to the devil. That's what that means there in Romans when he says, don't you understand that if you submit yourself in one sin, you become the servant of the devil. Willingly. And the whole time, going through life as a servant of the devil, trying to worship God, serve God. James says, can a fountain put forth sweet water and bitter at the same place? That's foolishness. It can't happen. There have been Christians serving the devil all of their Christian life because they have some little thing in their life they won't turn loose of. And we see the results. Look at our nation. Look at what's happened. You say, well, it's them wicked Democrats. No, it's not. It's the drifting church members that have not put their heart in the yoke of God. Now here's the promise. Verse 30, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Understand what he's saying there. The devil would say to you, if you surrender everything to God, he's going to hurt you. He's going to take your toys away from you. He's going to take your health away from you. He's going to hurt you. But the Lord says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. It's a whole lot harder and a whole lot more dangerous to be yoked up with the devil than to be yoked up with the Lord. The Lord is gentle. The devil is not. The Lord loves you. The devil does not. The Lord will strengthen you. The devil will tear you down. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. The Lord is pitiful, James says. He has pity on us. He remembers that we're dust. Listen to what he says in James 5:11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. It's interesting that he brings up Job there. Job went through some hard times. God doesn't want us to think that we're not going to go through hard times. But God can take you through hard times with peace. The devil will take you through hard times to destruction. You're going to go through hard times one way or the other. I'd rather go through the hard times with a pitiful Lord than with a ravaging devil. Because the devil wants to hurt us. The Lord is protective. Listen to John 10:9-13. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. You see what God is saying to us here? He said, I'm not going to hurt you. I love you. He may have to take us through some hard times, but he'll be there to protect us. He said, I'll lay my life down for you. He already has. He said, the hireling will run when the wolf comes, but not me. The Lord is protective. And I want you to see that the Lord is powerful. Listen to what he says in Nehemiah 8:10. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet. Send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The Lord is powerful. And he says, your strength is in the joy of the Lord. It is when you understand that you are completely protected in him, when you have nothing to worry about, when everything is his responsibility and you're just in the yoke. And all you have to do is just follow the directions that he gives. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Come unto me, all you that labor are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You need rest this morning. I need rest. And I want to come to the Lord so that the Lord can give me that rest. And I believe that as we yield ourselves to him to do whatever he wants to do with our lives, and we follow his lead and say, Lord, if there's anything in my life that you want to get rid of, just bring it to my mind and it's gone. And then whatever he brings to your mind, don't say, oh, I don't accept that. Just get rid of it. Live totally in the yoke of the Lord, with him directing every step. And you know what's going to happen when we do that? We're going to find peace in our souls. And then God is going to do his will in our lives. You say, what's that will going to be? I don't know. God does. And he is the one in charge, by the way. We're not our own. We're bought with a price. We don't have the right to our will. We surrendered that when we came to Christ, believing that he was better than us, that he could change us into what he wanted us to be. And in that, we find our peace. If you're here this morning, you've never received Christ as your Savior. He died to save you. He wants to save you. And he will save you if you call upon him. Maybe you're here and you know that there's things you need to surrender. This is the time to do that. Take the yoke of the Lord upon you and learn of him. And you'll find that rest. Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer.